Who have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its peoples welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Independence Day weekend, as we mark the historical founding of our nation in 1776, have you noticed with me that the November 3rd, 2020 presidential election seems to be well underway? Have you noticed? A little girl asked her mother whether all fairy tales begin with "once upon a time." "No," replied her mother. "Today most fairy tales begin with, 'If I'm elected.'" And we confess that our national longing and expectations, though high, bring us to a point that we are conditioned to expect them to remain unfulfilled. In Jesus' day, the longing and expectations of the people of the covenant were at an all-time high. For 900 years, think of that. For 900 years, the people of Israel had hoped for the glorious restoration of the kingdom of David and Solomon. For more than 500 years, they had longed for an end to foreign tyranny and the return to prosperity and freedom. The longings and expectations of the people of Israel were at an all-time high. And the arrival of Jesus ignited a great national hope. Perhaps, finally, God has anointed the one who will vanquish us from Roman occupation and restore the greatness of our nation. But Jesus did not come with a when I'm elected kind of promise. He came not with the promise of earthly rule, but with the promise of the kingdom of God. He told his followers as he sent them out, 70 in the text from our gospel today. He told them, when you go out in my name, tell the people that the kingdom of God has come near. Everything's changing. The kingdom of God has come near. Well, good news, sure, but Lord, what about the Romans? And what about our status as a military power in the days of our economic might, Lord? Lord, what about our national pride? Jesus came with no "if I'm elected" kind of fairy tale. But he came with a servant heart. And he called his followers to embrace and emulate that heart in their discipleship. A turn the other cheek, care for the stranger, feed the hungry, serve the least of these, love your enemy kind of heart. And many found his lack of a glorious campaign promise kind of hard to take. This way of discipleship was too hard. And many who had staked their hopes on his potential political campaign fell away. For Jesus' way was the way of the cross. And Jesus' invitation? Take up your cross and follow me. On July 3rd, 1776, the day before the signing of the Declaration of Independence began, George Washington wrote a letter to his wife, Martha. And in that letter, he was anticipating the hardships that were soon to occur. These are some of the words of that letter. "In a few days, Martha, you will see a declaration setting forth the causes which have impelled us to this mighty revolution and the reasons which will justify it in the sight of God. I am fully aware of the toil and blood and treasure it will cost to maintain this declaration and to support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory." You know, throughout human history, the light of true hope fulfilled, has been a rich metaphor. And certainly for we as faith people, who proclaim the light that has come into the world, the light that conquers darkness, we understand that metaphor. We understand what it means to be light bearers, at least in part. One of this nation's most iconic symbols, the Statue of Liberty, was a gift of the people of France, originally entitled Liberty Enlightening the World. That's the statue's name. Dedicated in 1886, the tablet that Lady Liberty bears has the date July 4, 1776 on it. The broken shackles and chain laying at her feet commemorate the recent abolition of slavery at that time in American history. Lady Liberty has historically been a welcoming sight to immigrants arriving from abroad, and the famous sonnet by Emma Lazarus, cast into a bronze plaque originally mounted inside Lady Liberty's pedestal, reads in part, and you know these words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." After the renovation of the Statue of Liberty and a dedication speech in 1986, President Reagan declared, "We are keepers of the flame of liberty. We hold it high for the world to see." As people of faith, we are called to remember another light which illumines the darkness. as we all, and it doesn't matter the political party now, friends in Christ, as we all wrestle with the challenge of immigration in our day, of the huddling masses yearning to breathe free, we have obligations to face people. Alexis de Tocqueville observed in his study of democracy in America in the 1830s, America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. So on this weekend, commemorating the independence of the nation, the cause of liberty, a message from our gospel commissioning this morning is that we are sent into the world to bear the good news that the kingdom of God has come near, including come near to the strangers, the huddling masses teeming at the shore. Our Lord chooses not to work alone, commissioning each of us to bear light and healing into the darkness and despair of our aching world. And our world's problems are not simple. The challenges before us are most certainly not going to be met by campaign promises or political slogans. We know that. And yet, even as we grieve promises unfulfilled, we are called to be light bearers to the tired and the poor and the homeless and the tempest-tossed. And as followers of Jesus, to find unity in our calling. Because again, the partisan divides fall away in Christ. The mission is clear. I close with a prayer of Methodist minister and civil rights leader Joseph Lowry, who prayed, Lord, in the complex arena of human relations, help us to make choices on the side of love, not hate, on the side of inclusion, not exclusion, tolerance, not intolerance. And as we leave this mountaintop, help us to hold on to the spirit of fellowship and the oneness of our family.